Security Committee meeting. Call to order. Any comments from the general public, please? Hearing none, I just want to remind everybody if they can mute themselves and take their video and close it, that'll help the streaming process of the meeting. So with that, we'll go to item number three. It's monthly updates operations.
Hey everybody, good morning. This will cover for the month of July 2020. In preparation for the July 4th holiday and potential traffic congestion at the gate, last year we implemented a new program with the Fast Pass, which is basically an electronic digital pass that allows people to be checked in about 5 to 6 seconds, as opposed to 30 seconds to a minute normally. So based on what we had last year with some good success in keeping the traffic lines moving, we acquired an additional iPad and a license for July 4th of this year. So we were prepared with two iPads to run pre-passes through the gate and extra staffing on hand as well. We had extra patrol officers on duty for the 4th, as well as off-duty sheriff's deputies hired through the department to come help us, which we do every year. For the most part, the day shift was relatively uneventful. We did have a couple disturbance calls down at the river at the South Beach. Both times the people causing the problems were gone when we arrived. That was myself and the deputies responded to those calls. During the day itself, that was about it. As far as traffic at the North Gate this year, more than likely because of COVID, with the events that were canceled being fireworks and parade and different things that occur throughout the day, traffic and flow of guests into the gates was very light. Every year RMA issues pre-passes that each resident can get a certain amount of passes to hand out to guests that want to come in on that day. They only issued 14 advance passes this year. And we only processed about 24 of the electronic fast passes. So again, I think COVID restrictions were a big impact on the amount of people actually coming into the community this year. The evening time, they were fairly busy chasing illegal fireworks throughout the community. And then as the night hours went on, loud music and party calls, we really only had one large party that was a lot of people in the street, probably involved several households and all. And it was past 11 o'clock at night when some people had complained and they were shooting off illegal fireworks. So that necessitated a response by our officers and the deputies. There was some uncooperative residents and guests at that party, but it was handled and quieted down, and the party was ended after 11 o'clock. Throughout the rest of the month, highlights, we had disturbance at the country store. A male subject had a pole, smashed out some windows of the store, and was threatening people. Was last seen walking down the middle of Jackson Highway. The Sheriff's Department responded. They ended up finding him and taking him into custody. Felony vandalism and some other charges. July 17th, we had a vegetation fire underneath the wooden bridge. Multiple fire agencies responded. No injuries or damage to the bridge itself. That cause was unknown. We had another vandalism out at Chesbrough Reservoir. This happened to be a cabinet that housed some pumping mechanisms inside of it. The cabinet itself was damaged, and the line for the buoys around the aeration pump station at Chesbrough Reservoir had been cut again. There was some damage in Riverview Park. And then on July 27th, and this was in the River Valley Times, Officer Brandon Reno was on patrol and noticed a smoke calling coming from the area of the river. He had our dispatch notify the fire department. He then located the fire down along the river by Granley's Dam. He started doing what he could to put the fire out using hand tools, that basically a shovel that we carry in the back of the vehicle. But then when the fire department got on scene, they actually put him to use and gave him a hose line to protect the fire truck from any flames. And that allowed a firefighter to be freed up to go actually combat the fire. So the following day, he was given some accolades by the fire captain from the Metro Fire Station here in town, thanking him for his effort and work in helping them contain that fire. That was caused by a large bird that flew into power lines, they ended up determining. Contract security is still on a part-time basis at the North Gate on Graveyard. COVID has still suspended a Joint Security Committee meeting. We have violations, both citation and warnings. The Excel spreadsheets are contained in the report, totals for the month of July, and the cheat sheet or listing of the most common violations that CSD security comes across and processes for RMA. That's about it for the month of July. I'll open it up to any questions or comments.
Any comments from the general public at this time?
Hi, this is Crystal Matter. I have a quick question, if you can hear me.
Yes, Crystal, yes, please. We can hear you.
Awesome, great. So, hey, I was taking a look at your meeting packet, and I was looking through the violations, and first I was hoping to get some clarification. I saw four pages related to the violations dated 2020 and 2019, and two pages for 2020 and two pages for 2019. Are there two pages for each, because one is for the north and one is for the south?
No. So what we do is we have one 2020 sheet for violations, which essentially could be violations where either a warning or an incident that we responded to directly related to, say, a speeding car or somebody being in the park after hours. And then when we get there, say the people are gone. The second sheet is citations. Those are actual RMA citations that we will issue for the listed violations. And then we have incorporated, some time back now, there was a request to incorporate the 2019 sheets as a comparison of the same month totals last year to the current totals this year. That's why there's four sheets.
Okay, that helps. And so my math might be a little bit wrong, because I thought that it was for the north and the south. But what I noticed in reviewing them, and I only took a look at the months from January to through July, because that seemed most pertinent, even though 2019 showed the entire year. And there are some concerns that I've had of late regarding speeding and stop signs. And what I noticed was that in 2019, and again, my math may be a little bit off for what we just discussed, but in 2019, there were 153 either calls or violations up to this point, and 23 stop sign violations or calls, depending on how the numbers are reviewed. Versus in 2020, by this point, there's 63 for speeding and 19 for stop signs. And maybe I'm a cynic, but I don't think that there's been a reduction in speeding this year. And I was wondering if you could help maybe identify why there would be a lower number this year as opposed to last year.
Oh, thank you.
Okay. I'm paging through the sheets here, Crystal, trying to see what numbers you're looking at and on which sheet. So, okay, there's stop sign, 19, year-to-date 50. One of the differences this year, we're not getting as many people calling to report speeding cars or people running stop signs, especially with speeding. Last year, there was a period of time, it was a year ago, maybe a year to 18 months ago. There was speeding was a big deal, and there was a lot of complaints. So that's part of it, is those overall complaints into our dispatch. And that's essentially when you look at the violation sheet, if somebody calls our dispatch and says, yeah, there's speeding cars in my neighborhood. So we respond. Those numbers are less this year. The second thing is, if we do issue a speeding ticket, an actual citation or stop sign, it's going to be recorded on the citation sheet and not the enforcement sheet. We don't double dip the stats. Yes, you could say, well, we got a call and then we got a speeding ticket. We don't do that. If there's a ticket, it's just going to go on the actual citation sheet itself, not a violation sheet. So that's part of the reason is the calls to our dispatch have gone down as compared to last year. Did that answer your question or part of it?
Yes, it did. So it appears that that if the speeding has not gone down, that the complaints of speeding have gone down. I know you can't prove a negative there, but I appreciate the explanation.
Yeah, that's kind of how this sheet works. And then I see you're looking at, you said, mentioned something about 19 stop signs. So yeah, that number is way down from last year. And we had a pretty aggressive enforcement period of time where word got out, I think, and the numbers did diminish. I think through education and enforcement, people started to pay attention to their speeding and their stop signs. So that is part of the reason for the lower numbers this year. And there's some other internal enforcement. Sorry, there's some feedback. Sorry if that didn't make sense. There's other enforcement ways that we have to comply with in doing this, and that may affect the numbers as well. I don't know.
Anybody else have any questions on the operations report? I have a couple. One of the questions I was going to ask at the end, but I'll ask now. Does the iPad, the handhelds we have, do they do barcode scanning as well?
No. That was one of the, when we looked at that, that was one of the questions we asked, and the software will not process a barcode.
Okay. And then in the operations report, so on the 4th of July, we had sheriffs in Rancho Marietta itself that evening.
Yes, there were two deputies on during the day and two during the evening or the night shift.
Okay. And I'm sure there's more of an explanation and I can get it offline. It jumps out to me where we actually need to request SO to come in hot. And it appears we were put into some positions that we can follow up offline on for a couple of those particular instances. Do we know when the vandalism took place up at Chesboro? You have it under the 17th, but was it after CSD staff obviously came that day? Was it the morning of the 18th they noticed it? We just traced it back to the 17th?
No, I believe it was discovered the morning of the 17th.
Okay, so we could put it back to somewhere after they left, potentially on the 15th, 16th, that type of thing. Okay.
I'm sorry, Tim, the buoys or the pump? The buoys was the 19th. The pump mechanism housing was the 17th.
Okay. But we just don't know if it was a midnight. Did they test to do the damage midnight and then come back a couple days later and do midnight again? Okay. It was just it was noticed by CSD staff, obviously, when they're doing their work up there. I appreciate the security officers' actions on calling in the wildland incident. I come from a background of high risk, high reward. I'm a little concerned on what hand tools we carry. You know, are we wildland firefighter? Is our uniform wool? I appreciate the accolades, but if it was a high risk, high reward situation, I appreciate it, but we can have further dialogue on exactly what the responsibilities are for the officers on a simple wildland incident like that. So just a no question there. To kind of follow up with what the resident, and I didn't catch her name, was asking on the reports. So again, I get questions all the time because this reporting format is very confusing to a lot of folks. And so to whoever that person was that asked about the reporting process, what we don't have is a total picture of what our community is doing. CSD captures CSD, and some of it's in RMA. RMA obviously captures what is in RMA's responsibility. So it's always been, timing has been off and those type things. And under director comments, I'm gonna address that a little bit more. But I guess specifically, out of the violations for the month, all of those would have translated into written citations to RMA to follow up on. Is that correct?
Tim, you asking me?
Yes.
Yes, that's correct. We issued a citation, then it goes straight to RMA for processing.
So we would have sent 77 citations for the month of July to RMA.
Let me pull that up. 2020 site. Correct. Those were all sent to RMA.
Okay. And so then when I look at the violation enforcement, and out of those, and I'll take the gate refusals off and barking dogs and some of those other things, how many written advisory notices then did we send to RMA?
Out of the month of July?
Yeah.
Two.
So then out of all of that activity we did, we would have only contacted two residents?
Not necessarily.
Okay, so this is where I'm confused. Well, I'm confused in most areas, but I'll stay specific to this. The intent, if I understood it correctly, was when we came across a resident and we had in this case, a RMA rules violation, and they were contacted by a CSD officer, there was gonna be something in writing, and that was supposed to be the written advisory notice. And then it goes through that process, and then it's up to RMA whether they want to follow up or what have you. So that's where I'm a little lost on, if we only did two written notices, but we had all this other interaction. And again, that was the thought process when RMA asked to go to the written advisory notice. Now, at the end of the day, I think we can modify that and it can be done in the computer system. But for the time being, that was my understanding. Am I incorrect in my understanding? And that's my specific question.
Well, just because there was a citation written does not mean the officer had personal contact with the violator. Quite simply, driving into the park and noting people sitting in cars is enough to have a park hour citation written to the address of where that car belongs to without talking to those people. So no, not every violation is a face-to-face personal contact between the officer and the violator. A warning notice could be face-to-face. it's a discretionary. If the officer doesn't think they deserve a citation, at least it's tracked by issuing the warning notice. And then that's where RMA would get it, and they track to see if, for example, three different officers wrote three different violations to the same person, then RMA knows to maybe upgrade that to an actual violation or do something different. Most of the time, we're writing tickets. We're not writing warning notices. So if there's a violation, our officers are just writing tickets, especially in regards to some of these issues that are community issues, like being in the parks or the back areas after hours or without a resident, speeding, stop sign, things like that. We're not issuing warnings on those. We're actually writing violations.
Right. Perfect. Okay. That answers that. Do we track the amount of times we have actual interaction with residents?
No, there's no. It may be listed in the call if there was a discussion or whatever, but no, that's just, I guess, the part of doing business. Sometimes you talk to people, sometimes you don't. Just depends on what the circumstances are, I would imagine.
Okay. And then looking at the 2020 rules violation citations, comparing it to 19, specifically what I'm looking for is the unauthorized vehicle. For all of 19, there were four. And as of to date, we're at 46. So could we give the folks out there an explanation on what an unauthorized vehicle is?
Well, usually it's RMA has rule. It could be the size and weight of the vehicle, like a work truck somebody brings home. And they're parking it on the street or the driveway. That's an unauthorized vehicle. Somebody that brings a boat or a camper trailer in, they can get a 24-hour pass, but they're only allowed so many, or it's only good for 24 hours. So if they stay longer than that, then it becomes an unauthorized vehicle. That is basically what those tickets are covering. People that are coming in, staying longer than the 24-hour pass that they were given, or they've exceeded their amount for the month, or bringing large commercial type vehicles home that are not their personal vehicle, it's a work truck, and so they're getting a parking ticket for that. These are all parking ticket violations, by the way.
Okay. And so then there would be no duplication if it was a driveway parking or street parking then?
No, they're not going to get two tickets for the same thing. It would be either unauthorized or a street parking ticket. It's not going to be, they're not going to get hammered twice. We only issue one.
Got it. Okay. Thank you. Is there anybody that have any other questions on the monthly updates? If not, moving on to item number four, and I believe this is going to be the general manager.
Yes, thank you. This is Tom Henning. I want to let you know we're moving forward with what was approved in the budget of upgrading the camera system, which includes increasing the capacity of storage on our main system. Additional cameras will eventually be out over the entry to the mobile village, as we've discussed. And in addition to that, we've added a camera to Lake Chesbro, where we have our buoy set up. So we have a camera that looks over at the buoys, and if it's motion detected, so if somebody decides to go in near the buoys and have activity, it will be recorded, and we will issue whatever citation we need to do so once we identify who it was that was doing the activity. This allows us to have a, you know, security for the water supply without having to have somebody up there 24/7. We're hoping that the fact that the camera's going to convince people that they don't need to do this anymore. And That's pretty much it. We're moving forward with increasing our ability to survey parts of the district without having to have an officer everywhere all the time. Questions?
All right, not hearing any. Thank you, Tom. Item number five, that was to me. I am going to put that on hold since I haven't gotten to the level of commitment that I wanted. So I'm going to hold off on that. The only thing I will say is it is obvious to everybody that we have overloaded golf carts. We have underage driving. It's going to continue because school isn't going back in. At the end of the day, if they're underage and overloaded, it really falls back to the lot owners, hence the parents. So with that said, that's where we're at. So item number five is done. Item number six, the chief talked about that, and that was the joint committee updates. It's COVID related, plus we at the district have to get a few more things related to security and also the finance process of security before we probably have another joint committee meeting. So with that is that item. Directors, and I'll make my comments at the last. Staff, any comments?
I don't have any, no.
I will. Last night I met with, I was invited to go to the RMA compliance meeting after they heard all their citations and had a very productive discussion with compliance, and we're going to follow up, and hopefully this helps eventually to get back to the joint security meeting process. But like director maybe said, there are also some things we need to shore up within our own operation here before we step forward with that process. So we're talking to the RMA, and it was good to have productive discussion with that committee. That's what I have to say.
Very good. Thank you, Tom. Tom, I'm going to direct my comments to you, and then you can figure out where it's going to go staff-wise. I think we need to come up with some alternative staffing models, specifically for security, whether it's working 10s, 12s. I think as we move through this, we've heard from directors, we've heard from the community, mainly the community, that we have to look at what our service model is and what the funding mechanism is. So to that extent, I think we have to have our due diligence done, especially at the committee level, to look at how do we make us as efficient as possible. And I know some action's already being done, but to that extent, I think we need to look at some alternative staffing levels. The next one I have is, and if you have a comment, stop me. Otherwise, I'm just gonna go through what I think we need to continue to work on or start working on. Next one is,
Will you move on?
Yes, go ahead. Identify yourself. I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Sure. This is Crystal Matter again. You'd mentioned some alternative staffing models and some efficiencies. I don't know exactly what that means, but what I'd like is just for a brief comment with respect to patrol and staffing. As far as being a resident out here and seeing the uptick in vandalism, golf cart theft, and all sorts of activity in the recent weeks, I'd like to hear from CSD and security as far as priorities and patrol, so that hopefully that there is a presence in the neighborhood. I am concerned with a model that seeks to do 10s and 12s if it means that there would be a reduction in any staffing or anything like that. As a resident, I would hope to see as much intervention and presence during these times as humanly possible, but of course I only speak for myself.
I think a couple things, Crystal, if I have your name right. The staffing models is just that, they're models. So we're just starting that process. And I'll let either general manager or the security chief address our priorities. The other issue that is a huge issue is the funding or the financing of how security is supposed to work as it relates purely to a fiscal standpoint has to be addressed. And as we gather that information on both security committee and the finance committee, it's going to be brought forward and it's going to be a multi-year process. So there isn't going to be a immediate change. We just know that we have to do something different. And that'll go out to the community for their input. But as far as patrol and priorities, I'll let either the chief or general manager answer that if they have anything to add.
I'll let Jeff answer that question, Tim.
So, excuse me, in regards to staffing, we need to remember that we have to staff an operation that's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Our current staffing is 4 patrol officers, 1 sergeant on patrol. You have to look at, that's all we're allotted or the budget can support is that staffing. So whether you look at a 12-hour shift or a 10-hour shift, you still only have so many bodies that can work and cover that shift 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Sure, we'd all like to have more than one officer on at a time. And we've done some scheduling. We have not been full staffed in patrol in a very long time. And we've been full staffed for almost 2 years now. So we've done some things where we were able to have some overlap during the what tends to be the busier times of the day and week so that there are 2 officers out there at a time. That is one thing that we were able to accomplish because we have been full staffed. Prior to that, we were doing a lot of overtime and a lot of different things just to cover 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And that doesn't include when somebody's on vacation or calls off sick, because then we're down a position. So that's in regards to staffing. And as the funding issue was commented on, that's what we are funded for. You know, priorities, all the households and businesses and land pay a security tax. So they all pay to have security. So our priorities is to be a visible presence in the community to deter crime and rule violations. And by doing that, protecting life and property within the district. And as we go about our normal day, we have calls for service that come up through our dispatch that we respond to. We have areas that we routinely check on a regular basis. And then we have other things such as doing rule enforcement in RMA's area. And that is spread out amongst each shift. Each shift basically has the same responsibilities, with the exception of the night shifts have a few added things that we do after dark in regards to parks and parking enforcement and things like that. So those are our priorities. We balance all that out through each shift, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So Crystal, I'll refer it back to you. Do you have any follow-up or questions?
I appreciate the explanation. I guess I'm not quite clear on the priorities, though, in any given evening. And I only bring this up with respect to the recent vandalism and theft. Is CSD currently adequately staffed such that they can fulfill all of those priorities in an evening? Meaning, do you have a full staff? And do you have the ability to patrol the neighborhoods on evenings? And I don't know if I don't know if you have data that says, okay, on Friday evenings or Saturday evenings, we see we have the most or the highest number of calls, or that's when violence, you know, occurs. I don't know if you have any data with respect to that, but if you do, do you have the staff necessary to be able to patrol from a safety and security standpoint?
Well, we are staffed. I mean, this is it. This is, we are funded for a certain allotment of patrol positions and gate positions. We are fully funded and fully staffed in the patrol side of it for patrol. So sometimes that means there's one officer on patrol. Sometimes that means there's two. And like I said, we have modified the schedule because we have the ability to do that now with the current staffing level, to have two officers on duty on what traditionally are our busy times of the week and busy hours of the day or evening. But in any community, you patrol and respond to calls over a geographical area. So we have two officers. When we have two officers, the rest of the time we have one that's responsible for patrolling 5 square miles, and there's nearly 6,000 people that live within the district. So we are the size of a small city. I don't know how you can quantify with numbers or justify with numbers that is it enough to handle things. We don't really handle emergencies. We're not a law enforcement agency. So unfortunately, there's not violence out here. We do have vandalism and petty theft and, you know, things of that nature, but relatively speaking, it is still small compared to other areas in the county of Sacramento. When you look at the overall model of police staffing, the goal is to try to have one patrol officer on duty for every 10,000 people. So if you look at Rancho Marietta, where there's approximately 6,000 people, we're at that level, one officer, and during the busy times we have two. So I'd say right now we're on par with the national policing model of staffing. But unfortunately, you know, things happen and we can't be everywhere all the time. Nobody can. And that's why we really try to educate the public on securing their property, locking things up, you know, trying to get neighborhood watch going, things like that.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Very good, Jeff, on that answer. The other thing, Crystal, to follow up on, when I spoke to staff earlier this week, out of the 5 golf carts that were taken, only one was reported to the Sheriff's Department to actually fill out a report. So again, it's incumbent upon us, the residents, to do our due diligence, and that is if we have a crime committed against us, that we fill out the reports and we become a statistic, so that as we move forward with our cooperative interactions with the Sheriff's Department, we can give them the stats. They know the stats. But again, if 1 in 4 are going to follow up with some type of crime report, it makes it tough for us to justify. The other is, as the chief was telling you, the policing model is just that, the policing. What we have to look at is what is the security model? Because good, bad, or indifferent, we pay our taxes, they go to the Sheriff's Department, and we do have a deputy, and they do have a policing model that does fit this exact specification. The difference is we're enhancing it with a very specific security. And so it's a security model that we have to keep in mind on what we can accomplish in the community. So I don't know if that answers all your questions, Crystal, but some of the questions you've asked are the questions that staff ask internally all the time, and that we're asking from a funding standpoint that we're gonna have to take a look at as well. If no other questions on that, I'm gonna move on. Not hearing any. I'm not sure what the status of the camera video reviewing policy is. This was supposed to be done back in February, I believe. I understand we've had a transition of leadership. The intent was that we have a body camera policy, which is in place, and I have a question on that. But specific to that, we pulled out reviewing of video of CSD tapes. And so I don't know where that's at. That was supposed to come forward as a separate policy. So if it's in draft, we can have it next meeting. If we need to create it, then we can have it in draft and have it for the next meeting. To the body camera policy, part of that was that review was going to be done of officers for training and audit purposes. So for the next meeting, we could probably get an audit report on how many we've done and then what are the outcomes related to customer satisfaction or any trends identified in that audit period.
Okay. We will, Director, maybe this is Tom Henning. We will provide that update at the next security meeting.
Okay, thank you. I've brought this up before I put a timeline on it, but after having some public comment, it just reinforces it, and I'm going to have to work this through, and that is, again, we have different agencies, organizations, reporting within the same organization's area, and the numbers just don't match, and some of it is just the reporting periods and those things, and to that point, I'm going to reach out to RMA. I might have to wait till they get their new GM on board, but somehow we have to have our reporting system and RMA, because they're the largest, and we're still going to have, from a CSD standpoint, a reporting mechanism outside of RMA, but these reports have to be a little bit more concise, and where it's not multiple pages, it's just a single formatted thing. So that'll be back on me to move forward with RMA. And like I said, I might have to wait for the new general manager to come on board. With that, I know I asked for public comment at the beginning, but I don't know if any of the dialogue has raised any questions. So I'm going to go back to item number 2. Are there any comments from the general public? Not hearing any, and not hearing any from staff. Amelia, thank you for putting this on. Thank you to staff for all the work. That's all I have for the meeting.
Thank you.
Have a great day.